When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Shoot to thrill, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Liverpool need to pick themselves up for Palace, and Aston Villa are off to the Emirates. It's Friday, 12th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday again, and we're feeling very, very good. Are we not, Pete Donaldson?
Well, I'm feeling good. I don't know about you. I'm ready for the weekend, baby.
What are you swigging over there? It's just a coffee.
It's paint thinner.
Calm down. What about paint thicker?
Yeah. Why does nobody ever want to get their paint thicker?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? Same you add some corn flour into that Dulux, will you?
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, I suppose they used to do that with wood chip, ultimately, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
Which is an absolute bastard to try and get off.
Was your house completely covered in wood chip?
No. The bits of the kitchen for some reason.
Right. Yeah, okay, the splashback.
Of my old flat.
My old flat.
Yeah. I hope it was wood chip.
Yeah. I watch a home improvement show at about 5 p.m. every single afternoon when I'm in the house.
They're painting over the popcorn, are they?
Well, they're just always talking about splashbacks or backsplashes. They're obsessed with backsplashes. It's the only thing they do.
You're mixing up two different programs.
Right.
Adam, we really
that's
don't
the 5 a.m. show.
If I would trust one member of the Ramble to operate a steam sort of wallpaper remover, it would be you, actually.
You know what? I'm a dab hand at that. But
he's got the wrists for it. He's got strong wrists.
All that. But the wood chip is an ad, honestly. Oh. Get a professional.
You've seen Nam.
Yeah, I will tell you.
Wood chip. A bloody wood chip.
With wood chip on the wall. All right, everybody.
This wouldn't happen if Luke Moore was in the room.
No.
Well, I think it would.
Pulp. It's a no pulp studio when Luke Moore's in the room.
That's true, yeah. Right, so let's go to last night's Europa League action. My goodness.
It was good stuff, wasn't it?
My goodness. Liverpool 0, Atalanta 3.
Liverpool fans going, keep talking about the wood chip.
I mean, my goodness. Pete Donaldson.
I mean, it's hard to take anything from this match other than this is the ultimate of off days, isn't it, really? I mean, nobody expected this. Nobody expected after the ball like smashing off Kelleher's face quite early on.
What a save that was.
The way that the commentary team spoke about that sort of save, and it was, I mean, was it a save or was it just a lucky smash in the face? Because you can't really move your head.
Well, Schmeichel-esque, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The idea that your presence fills the goal.
True.
In the same way, if someone wax a volley in from about 30 yards, you are just like hitting it hard at a sort of general area.
You can't place that very well. Okay. Well, I think that the way that the commentary team sort of dealt with that chance, it was really funny if you go back and listen to it in retrospect, because they do got sort of go, well, they'll have to take their chances, won't they? Atalanta. They fucking did, didn't they, mate?
Didn't age very well, that, did it? So it was a very early chance, of course. But I mean, it's a funny one to look at the result, because in that first half, I mean, Harvey Elliott hits post and bar, or bar and post.
They had the same shot.
Exactly, amazing trick shot. they had chances. So, you know, Klopp was damning in his assessment, as you would expect him
to be. But confused at the same time, I think.
Yes,
I didn't
he
think
was.
He just think, he can't be looking at that and sort of going, well, this will happen again in the other leg. It's going to be difficult, but they have beaten them 5-0 in recent memory. So, like, you do sort of think it's still quite a dangerous tie, isn't it, for Atalanta?
But it's weird, though, that the second is not at Anfield. So if they were 3-0 down and they still had Anfield to come, you'd think, well, we've seen this before. And I don't think the tie is dead because of what Liverpool have done under Klopp.
And Atalanta have been very good at throwing away advantageous positions this season, for what it's worth.
And the manager has been very good at throwing away his jacket.
Oh, Gianpiero Gasperini, yeah.
Did you see that? He launched his jacket into the to the Liverpool fans. Ty's dead. Which was great to see, because normally... Did someone have a banner up saying... Gasperini, can I have your jacket?
Of what use is that to anyone, though, really?
Yeah, because it's quite a mild evening
All it does is serve to upset his tailor. Oh, why you do this? Why? I work very hard.
Forgive us, everybody, for that.
What? Nothing wrong with that. We're all friends. We're all friends.
Now we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Marcus.
But you're right to say that Klopp was sort of confused, because normally he's much more fiery and annoyed.
He did sort of just say, "I did." Whoa, wow! I didn't even realise you could do that. Play like that.
Did you play bad? But then it is, you know, one less thing to worry about with regards to retiring at the end of the season, isn't it?
Right. Okay. What you if know? He just absolutely stacks the?
Well, because the Europa League final is.
Oh, it's one less appointment. Game. Right, yeah. You can hit the beach.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's kind of like, I am annoyed, but then, is this the worst thing? no, it was true. I think he just knew they were comprehensively beaten. Whereas normally, if they lose
by
the odd
goal... Were they comprehensively beaten, though? Because, I mean, they had a goal ruled... They had a goal ruled out for offside, which is pretty marginal.
So that doesn't count.
And also, they had a lot of chances whacked against the post.
Yeah, so I think that's
why... They were comprehensively beaten, they weren't played off the park.
I
think you can say that. Yeah. But, yeah, the demeanour of Klopp was really the demeanour of the team, I felt. Mm. So, I know it's easy to rewrite history when, you know, with a bit of recency bias.
Let's do it, Andy.
But it just felt that maybe this was coming because... The game at Manchester United at the weekend, they definitely should have won, by the way. And they just took their eye off the ball a little bit. It felt like a bit of weariness, a bit of, you've no idea how difficult it is to keep this going. Mm. And I'm not just talking about this season, but the fact that they've competed with Manchester City at such an incredibly high level for the most part over a number of years, give or take the odd one. And this season...
But last season was meant to be the season off, Andy.
No, but you go back to the start of this season and you look at the fact that they've completely restructured the midfield, which they desperately needed to do, obviously. But this really should be a transitional season. And that it's not says so much for Klopp and says so much for those players. I think the remarkable thing is not that this has happened, more that this has not happened more, really, when you look at this. And I think consistency is the most difficult thing to find in modern football because... Yeah. There's too much football because it's incredibly athletic, all those sort of things. And so really, I think Klopp was like a little bit, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even though there's a feeling that this shouldn't have happened, I think for me, there's a feeling that, fair enough. Like, fair enough.
I don't know if that was his feeling, Andy. I mean, that's not the words coming out of his mouth. I just think it was a case of...
No, but that's exactly what he did say. He said, I didn't think my players were capable of playing like this. Well, that's what he said.
Okay, but I think his thinking was more like, you know, we've lost 3-0. I'm confused. Obviously, I'm annoyed. But this is not the time for me to start ranting and raving like he often does, which you would expect. I know he's a sore loser. That's just the way it is. And as you would expect... A manager like that to be a sore loser. I don't know any manager there is, but he can be particularly prickly and spiky in the interviews. But I think, you know, he will probably also maybe do a little bit of that to deflect attention or galvanise his play. You know, there's often reasons. You think about him as a coach in the game that long. Perhaps, whereas this, I just think he was like, what do I do with this?
He looked blindsided rather than having a plan of attack, didn't he?
He was as confused as Kamaka for his second. Yeah. Where he's like, was that offside? Because I feel offside.
There was no one near me. It feels like that was an offside trap.
That seemed to be the easiest thing I've ever done.
But he felt duty bound to go over to the fans who were cheering, because he can't look at them and go, look, guys, you know, I think we've got to wait for VAR on this one. I'll go over here, but I will just keep it in just in case that's chalked off.
There was a lovely, is a Ketlara attempting like a back heel in the box.
What, first half?
Yeah, to
have
Koopmeiners. I don't know, it was great because it went to Koopmeiners and he was like, and just lashed it against someone's foot.
I really expected you to shoot that.
It was lovely.
It was good. It would have been a great setup.
It was a bizarre. They just did not expect the ball to come into their feet.
I think they knew they were going to get loads of chances. I'll tell you what, I'll wait for the next one. But nice to see old Scamacca back in England.
Especially if you're a West Ham fan, thinking, oh, there's a lot of permanent transfer money coming.
Well, I mean, it's an extraordinary result. As we know with Liverpool, the tie isn't dead. But it is a huge task, of course. And Liverpool... I mean, this is the last trophy left for Jurgen Klopp to conquer as Liverpool manager. They reached the final early on in his time.
The thing is, you do think, when we've talked about, you know, the desire for freshness, the need for freshness.
Yeah. Well, it was a fresh trophy.
I think there's a question: what teams he picked next week?
Yeah,
that I think is the biggest question off the back of this. Can Liverpool do it? Yeah, I do think Liverpool can go and do it. But do they think? Or does Klopp think, right, it's all in for the league now?
Mm. Possibly.
Because he might think that.
Well, I think there was,
it's a question that he never would have thought about entertaining before this game.
Indeed.
But now it must be something that crosses his mind.
True. I mean, you look at their fixtures left, you expect them to win them. I mean, to go on and win, what would it be, 7 games straight? It's very doable, and we've seen them do it.
Yeah.
But it would still be a great achievement.
It's still a big effort.
It is. There's no doubt about that. And he was immediately turning his attentions to Crystal Palace on Sunday, which now feels like it's a huge game. And Palace will be watching that, thinking, well, I tell you what, boys, you know, there could be a huge reaction and Liverpool go and beat them 3 or 4 nil. Well, they might think themselves, they can't score goals.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can score goals, but they're not looking too sharp up front. But they need Mo Salah to click. I know he didn't start the game, but he's not looked quite at the races.
Well, again, when we're talking about the team, I think there was a bit of half and halfness to this. Normally, I think maybe that was in Klopp's mind already, actually.
He picked a good enough team to win the game.
Yeah, he picked a good enough team to win the game, but he didn't pick a team that you would pick to win an absolutely crucial game.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
To
me, it was a team that you pick to say, okay, we're competitive for this. And you can justify it, as you say, and say, yeah, it's a team that I would expect to win the game. Mm. But it's not your 11 that you would absolutely hang your hat on. Yeah. I think it says that our priority is the Premier League.
Good news, though, for Liverpool is that Crystal Palace haven't won in their last 5. Mm. And Luton Town have scored a fair few more goals than them in the league. You know, like if Palace don't really score that much and they're not really winning. So
Palace are waiting for Andy's favourite Jonathan David to arrive.
Are they?
They're Shaws.
Ooh, yeah.
John Dave
in there.
Dave John.
So they've got to sort themselves up for Palace, no doubt about that. Staying in European competition, Bayer Leverkusen 2, West Ham United 0.
Sickener.
Yeah.
I know they were all over them, but sickening.
Yeah. with Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen, they love goals towards the end of games. Is that just because teams are just knackered, do you think, Andy? They're just passed under them. Don't worry, lads. These will just drop to the floor in a minute.
Well, I think that's maybe part of it.
Although the type of goals they scored, that was obviously, you know, set pieces.
Yeah, but they retain the ball so well, and they've got a great bench. I think those are two absolutely huge things.
They are 42 games unbeaten as well by Leverkusen.
But the point about...
So this looks bad on Moyes, doesn't it?
Yeah. The point about West Ham being so close is like they had the perfume in their jacket. They'd maybe half worked the security tag off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got to the door.
They saw the cardboard policeman. Dropped everything.
Oh, we're going to get away with it.
Yeah, and just the alarm started to go off when they were half a step out the door.
Right.
Yeah. I think.
You just got to sprint out, haven't you, Andy?
You can't touch me. Why are you touching me? Don't touch me.
I paid for it. I just left the tag on.
Yeah.
Just how I get my thrills. I tell you what, Fabianski was in good form, though.
I didn't realise he's 38. Is he?
Yeah.
That seems erroneous.
Yeah. Well, Peter, you talk to him.
Let me have a look.
You talk to him.
Let me have a look how close he is to his... Yeah, that one checks out. Well done.
When's his birthday?
38, April. He's 39 this month.
Well, bugger me. Well,
he's 39 in 6 days.
Okay, I get on that, Andy.
Lordy. Well,
can he play in midfield or up front for the return leg?
It seems
the question.
Seems unlikely.
Obviously, Jared Bowen might not be fit and Lucas Paquetá is suspended. I mean, Paquetá did very well to stay on for the entire game, I thought. Mm. But obviously, he is an absolutely huge miss. And when you were talking about Moyes before, I think we've mentioned it earlier in the season, but whenever there is judgment on David Moyes, which obviously has to be one or the other. He's amazing and people are really unfair to him, or he's absolutely terrible and the football's awful. You know, there's never any in between. I think the fact is that if this season's proven anything about West Ham and David Moyes, or David Moyes' West Ham, is that they're just incredibly reliant on a couple of really outstanding players. And, you know, Bowen and Pacatar are the premier of those.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, kudos chips
in as
well.
Yeah. But you can stick him in there for sure.
The way that Pacatar kind of slows the game down a little bit, it's sometimes a little bit unhelpful to the way West Ham play. Is that fair?
Yeah, and Tony's like,
get it over the top for crying out loud.
Well, I think it's a question of where you place him, really. Because if he's in that advanced role, obviously he plays in a deeper role for Brazil and he can do that. I personally think, having seen a lot of him in club football, when he's got the ball in his own half, I think he's a bit of a liability.
Yeah. Oh, you want him further up to his own goal,
despite the fact that he has often filled that role for Brazil and done it very well. So yeah, you definitely want him further up the
pitch. Isn't it weird how like players can play in the same position for club and country but just excel?
Yeah,
you're Maguire, and excel in one. And
we have Brazil's Harry Maguire.
Yes,
I like
you
it.
You heard it here first. Get on the t-shirt.
What did you think of Victor Boniface doing a Mohamed Kudus celebration after scoring? When
did he improvise that? Because he was doing one celebration and then he kind of stumbled, didn't he?
Yeah.
Quite badly. You know, like when people
when
people do a knee slide,
yeah,
and get it wrong.
I think it could be a dig, Andy.
I just think those...
A bit of AFCON sledging.
Yeah, possibly.
You might get a screw up your bum.
Are they
screws in the hoardings, aren't they? Can't just screw them down.
Sort of stick up.
I mean, in the 80s, I think that's a real danger.
Yeah,
you get a spelk.
Yeah, oh dear. Possibly. Well, West Ham do face the mighty Fulham on Sunday. So another very stern test for them where they will be probably passed to death.
Yeah, I don't think Fulham are that stern a test at the moment, are they?
Do you not think? Yeah, I suppose you're dealing with the facts. You can prove anything, can't you? elsewhere,
just looking at their form.
elsewhere in the Europa League last night, Benfica beat Marseille 2-1. Sven-Göran Eriksson was the guest of honour at the match and was given a guard of honour by his former players at halftime, which, like, it's lovely to see. Obviously, the reason for this happening is very, very sad, of course, but it is sort of quite heartwarming, I think.
It's good that people get their flowers while they're still around.
Yeah.
Well, it's
important, isn't it?
I mean, it is. Yeah, I think Jim made the point sort of fairly recently for him, you know, within the sad, very sad circumstances, of course, to be able to go around and get that appreciation and so on is lovely. I mean, obviously, most people don't get that for obvious reasons, but yeah.
The thing with Sven-Göran Eriksson, he's liked and admired in England. I think increasingly so as there's distance from his tenure in charge of the England team, and you can see it as an overall rather than particular bits of it where
you can't
people
dislike
took issue. But if he's liked, and I think with a certain cheekiness in England, he's admired and adored in large parts of Portugal, where, let's be honest, most people support Benfica. Benfica are absolutely huge there.
Former manager,
and
of course.
He was, in two very successful spells in the 80s
European
and 90s.
Final?
European Cup final, 1990. Now, this is the interesting thing, because, talking of cheekiness, the last time that Benfica played Marseille in European competition was in the semi-finals in 1990, where Vata famously scored the winner at the Estadio de Luz in the return leg with his hand.
Yeah. Right.
And, it's unlike Marseille to be on the end of a cheating moment in the European Cup.
They're still pretty sore about that.
Yeah,
But obviously...
Got their own back, though.
Sven-Göran Eriksson is an absolute, undisputable Benfica great. And it was brilliant. When they had this guard of honour, you had a load of his former players, whether they were from the early 80s generation or the late 80s generation, they were wearing replicas of the shirts that they used to wear at the time. It was
just
like retro football beauty. And of course, the current president of Benfica, Rui Costa.
Oh,
and comes out and gives him a big hug.
Oh, delightful. Delightful. Right, let's come back to England. Aston Villa 2, Lille 1 in the Europa Conference League. Quite nervy for Villa.
Yeah.
Quite nervy. I mean, Martinez was in good form and needed to be. Lille will be disappointed that they lost the game, quite frankly, because they had their chances.
Well, they're a good side. And
are they better than Villa?
I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're better than Villa. They're in, I would say, maybe better form than Villa at the moment.
Villa have got a lot more money, though, Andy.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, that's a massive deal. But
William and George go to Villa matches.
That's true.
They are, like Villa, impeccably coached by Paulo Fonseca. Paulo Fonseca, who's been linked with a lot of Premier League jobs, not just in the past, but for next season, of course, as well. It's going to be a really interesting second leg. And I did say before this was drawn, like, forget, like, the glamour of the name. This is such a more difficult tie than the one they had against Ajax, who they are so much better than Villa than it's, you know, embarrassing, really. But this one, when once they got themselves 2-0 up, you thought, oh, they've got themselves in a great position there. So you're right to say it could have been worse for Villa. They've done well to, from a certain point of view, to get out of it with the win. I thought they deserved it, actually, for the way they attacked it for the first hour. But if they'd have got through it without conceding that goal to Diakite, I think it would be so much more comfortable. This has totally opened it up for the second leg.
Yes, you're absolutely. Villa in a funny sort of patch of form recently.
Since the turn of the year, they've not been nearly as impressive as they were last calendar
year. Which makes sense, because when we see a side like this, usually, you know, out with the Leicester City example, usually, you know, a first half of the season where they're very impressive and it's surprised a fair few people and you think, my goodness, you know, and there's even like a cheeky little nod and wink to a title race and so on. And then the second half of the season, you know, it begins to catch up. And of course, the consistency of the other sides around them and so on is very difficult to find. They'll be disappointed, though, if they don't go on into the semis and then in the final in this competition.
Yeah, I mean, they've been the favourites for this competition for a long, long time. But you're right to say that. I think the 2023 numbers for Villa, they're extraordinary, and they're also completely unsustainable.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be realistic about that. Yeah. They are still a developing team under Unai Emery.
Did you see John Duran's? He crashed his really expensive BMW.
Oh no!
Hours before this match, so that might have. He did come on, I think. So that might have played into it. Did you see that? There's a YouTuber restoring Marcus Rashford's write off.
Really?
I watch a lot of car YouTube now I've become to that that sort of age.
Is this
a problem?
Could we call it? Wasn't going to go there yet. Could we call it a midlife crisis?
Is it a crisis that started
one man's
in crisis your
20s? Another one's lovely old job.
It's a slow. Yeah. I'm turning into the slide. I think that's what it's called, really. Okay, but
I watch the guy who restores football shirts. That's my midlife crisis.
How does he do that?
It's amazing. Like people who've had, you know, where the name and number have faded, and like he sort of cleans it all off. And then gets a beautiful new like name and number, and honestly, it's a bit ASMR.
When
he peels the film off the back, it's amazing.
I've got a Yokohama Flugels shirt where all of the lettering has fallen off. Could he restore that?
Send it to OJ. He'll sort it out.
All right. Send it to who?
OJ, I think his name is.
Today of all days.
Andy. Today of all days, Andy. Good God.
Deary me. Where were we? Aston Villa. Aston Villa, yeah. I mean, they haven't won a trophy for a while. Not since the major trophy, since I think the 90s. So there's a chance.
Get a new banner opposite the whole end.
And when John McGinn's passing them in like that. Did you see on the BBC, Tom Kearney was talking about the size of John McGinn's bum?
What, is it...
jealous.
Saying that when it's in full force, you just can't get. You cannot get near him. You know. Well, I mean, you are near him, of course. In fact, maybe he gets nearer.
He's trying to get past him in the lunch
line. You can't get
the
ball.
Impossible.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it has been noted. I know Vish is a fan of his of John McGinn's.
As a man with no, awesome. we had a photo shoot this week. A lot of us, didn't we? And people were remarking on the
we're very vain. We always have a photo shoot once every few months.
how little my little boy's bum is, and I would just love a big old bum.
Would you?
Yes,
What would you do with it?
Just push it into people's faces.
Thank goodness
Throw
you don't have it.
Around.
This is why the good Lord never gave you one.
Have a word upstairs. I want to wake up tomorrow morning like a kind of Tom Hanks. I want to be big. I want my bum. I want my bum to be big, Marcus.
I'm not going to endorse that.
Is this going to be
you
your
sell your keys to the weekend in it?
Is this going to be your? Is this going to be your surgery in Turkey 50th birthday?
Yes, turkey ass. Give me a turkey ass.
I'm surprised you haven't actually thought about that.
Right. What, get again?
You go and get your implants.
It would look wonderful. Do you know what?
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
In all its glory.
Come on. Put your money where your mouth is, guys.
Okay. Get him out to Istanbul, Andy.
Start, just
let him talk to some of your people, because you go out there quite a bit. and you've certainly come back with different features every time.
Well, before we move on, Marcus, we have to talk about Lille's manager, Paulo Fonseca, buying clause for one of his footballers.
This is if they beat Marseille, said he would
do
this.
If they beat Marseille, Edun Zagrova, he took him shopping to get some new clothes. It was like Pretty Woman.
Was it?
It was lovely stuff, and I just think that...
Did Big Edun take off a wig at some point and go, red?
Yeah, or big mistake.
Or, no, red.
Big mistake.
But Jose Mourinho did that before, didn't he?
What, took a wig off?
He took one of his players trainer shopping, didn't he? After he scored for him.
Yeah, I just think it's a
big.
Why
was this big? I mean, well, pretty much.
I just can't imagine Unai Emery just taking. I don't know.
Neil Warnock.
Yuri Tillemans out for an evening jacket.
What did he buy him?
Or it was just like trainers and a shirt and the player Zagrova basically telling the camera, goes, "I feel like a manager." It's so. Don't like it. He's a bit
it's a bit naughty.
Zagrov is sticking on a tasteless D squared and going, I'll be wearing this pre-match at a mid-table Premier League club next season.
Oh my goodness! Well, he'd be very welcome, I'm sure. Andy, right. Let's talk about Arsenal hosting this Aston Villa team on Sunday at 4:30. It's the Unai Emery derby. It's the Emi Martinez derby. There's probably one or two others that I can't be bothered mentioning. But can Unai do it? Andy, Villa not in great form, as we know, although they did get their victory last night. It's a tall order, though, going to the Emirates these days.
Yeah, I feel Arsenal will run past them pretty easily.
Especially with a Thursday night fixture as well.
Yeah, exactly. I do understand. So much in. The narrative of Emery going there and scuppering Arsenal's title bid would be a lot more vivid at another point in the season where Villa looked a little bit more energetic. I mean,
and last season as well.
But this might, you know, they might take their eye off the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arsenal Villa gets in.
Yeah. I think the, you know, form and the course
personnel
of the show. Yeah, exactly.
Situation.
Everything suggests.
And stakes.
Yes.
And history. Uh-huh. And performance.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
And
air miles.
And air miles as well. Would suggest that Arsenal are going to win this one. I mean, obviously, Arsenal played Bayern this week.
With 2 days extra rest.
Yeah. Mm. But it's interesting what you said about Klopp. You know, does he go all in the league now with regards to the Europa? I strongly suspect, you know, with Arsenal, Arteta is doing what Klopp would normally do. And Guardiola in that, right, we are going on all fronts, right, you know, equally.
I think Europa League kind of clouds your judgment when it comes to that, doesn't it?
Well, it does a little bit, especially if you've been 3-0 as well.
Yeah.
I think, though, that a league title is more important to Arsenal than a Champions League win.
Well, especially because they look a bit green in the Champions League as well.
Yeah.
And you sort of go, well, look.
They feel more realistic, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they nearly got there last time.
They don't have to play Manchester City again in the Premier League. All right.
Yeah.
And they'll never have to play Real Madrid.
We'll have a proper crack at the Champions League
in the Premier League. Yeah. I think that's what it is. You know, I can't see him resting players in this game. No. I can't see him resting players against Bayern. To be quite frank,
I mean,
either.
The one guarantee Arsenal have got going into this next week, which is obviously crucial for them this next week and a half. It's all crucial, but I think, you know, there are moments of truth in this next week or so. The one thing they can guarantee, almost guarantee, is that they are going to face a really quite pumped Bayern next week. Not just because they're at home, not just because it's the Allianz Arena, not just because Bayern have had a difficult season.
Well, so this is what all their chips are in this.
But this weekend is probably the weekend that Leverkusen are going to win the league.
Right.
So Leverkusen,
they need a response.
Leverkusen are playing the late game against Werder Bremen on Sunday. If they win that, regardless of what Bayern do this weekend, and if I was Thomas Tuchel, I would rest everyone this weekend because it's done anyway. They are going to feel so pissed off about having lost the league. Because obviously I've known it's happening for weeks, but the moment where, for the first time in 12 years, you're the team, you're the coach, you're the players who've not won Bayern the title, there's got to be a reaction for that.
Yeah,
there has to be.
Yeah. No, all agreed. All agreed. All right, everybody, before we go for a break, a reminder that you can sign up for the Football Ramble patron for as little as $5 a month. You'll get ad-free episodes of the Ramble Odyssey and Upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble and access to our Discord server. On the Discord this week, the Ramble patrons were talking about the new Livingston Stadium sponsor, which is a beauty. It was known as the Tony Macaroni, and yesterday it was announced that it will become the home of the Setfair Arena next season, named after a cab firm called Setfair. So, before the nickname was the Spaghetti Had, some suggestions are now the New Cab, Stadio Olympic Up, and the Mirror Signal Iduna Park. So, some good ones there, everybody. So, for more scintillating banter like that, head to patreon.com/footballramble to sign up for just $5 a month. Coming up in the second half, we've got Newcastle versus Spurs. Newcastle quite clearly trying to mug off Mike Ashley, Forest v Wolves, and something positive about Portsmouth.
Oh,
see you in a moment.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm going messing this, right? Because he hates when people leave stuff about, and he goes, come on, man. Like that. And the fact that I don't moisturise my knees.
Oh, you've got to moisturise.
You've
got to moisturise. If it's dry, you've just got to put a bit of cream on.
You can't
put cocoa butter on a guy from Clydebank. I tell you what, as products go, Andy, I mean, cocoa butter's got to be the most successful product that's ever lived. Like, it's been going longer than cork. It started early 19th century when they discovered the cocoa press, and it's just never... Where's the new cocoa butter coming from?
Why do you need it?
For the Paw Patrol generation.
You don't need it new if it's still good.
Yeah, but like, there must be like... Why didn't we never see a Cocoa Butter 2000? Why did we never see anything that's been updated?
Did you suggest that it was the most successful product ever?
It's got to be.
Even more than just butter?
Well, it's not technically even butter, is it?
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, but like, this cocoa butter is just... I thought it was just one brand.
What about chips? Everyone loves chips. Especially John McGinn, who was talking about cocoa butter there with Ollie Watkins.
Put it on your chips.
Yeah, chaps.
Chaps.
Oh, dear. Right. Andy, your local team, Newcastle United. And Pete, your beloved team, Newcastle United.
It's a bit beloved to Andy.
He can't stand them.
Would have been.
He hates going there.
would have been good. 20-minute walk.
They are playing Tottenham Hotspur on Saturday at 12:30. They get the Premier League underway on the weekend. It's the curtain raiser.
It is. I like it.
Of the Premier League's weekend
action. Negotiating with my partner. We're going to watch it.
Is that right? Well, it's almost a year since Newcastle beat Spurs 6-1 at St James's Park, with Spurs conceding 5 goals in the first 21 minutes.
Oh, that still seems like a dream, doesn't it?
Lest we forget, everybody.
I can't believe it feels like a lot longer.
Well, there was another one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Was it a 6-1 or a 5-1, remember, on the last day of the season?
Rafa Benitez, wasn't it?
Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
When they were already relegated, Newcastle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Where Spurs famously came third in a two-horse race.
That's right. That is right.
Premier League. I mean, I suppose the advantage for this one, with this 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, if something similar were to happen in this game, then, you know, those Spurs fans could be back in N17, having a great Saturday night.
Do you think that's why they nice brought the early fixture a little
maybe
bit earlier?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That would be such a great reason.
Villa have said there's no consideration with the Premier League in their scheduling. Well, I beg to differ.
Yeah. Exactly. We often say the Premier League don't care about the fans.
Yeah, you never hear good news, do you? About transport.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still thinking about Thursday night massive European game playing Arsenal away at the weekend, aren't you? Sunday.
I'm still thinking about that Christmas Eve fixture, Andy, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
But no, the Premier League have got it right this time. And I applaud them, quite frankly.
I mean, it's not going to be that. It might be in the reverse because Newcastle are walking wounded, but yeah. Mm. I don't think it's going to be quite so gory.
Bruno Guimarães should play.
He should play, yeah.
And have you heard about the bizarre situation that he's in? There's a little Premier League loophole here. He's picked up 9 yellow cards this season. If he gets one more, within 32 games within the season, and this is Newcastle's 32nd game, he'll be banned for the next two games. However, if he picks up two yellow cards in this game and therefore gets sent off, that will mean he only gets a one-game suspension.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's if you asked Alexa to describe Chekhov's gun in football, that's is very much what we're looking at here.
Well, right? I mean, it's not as loophole-y as people may think.
Bruno's gonna get ya. Bissouma, Bruno's gonna get ya.
So the next threshold is 15 yellows from the 38 fixtures.
Right.
And if you were to achieve that, then you'd get a three-match ban, but no one has ever done that. So, okay. Bruno, well, look, I put it to you.
Breaking records.
Yeah.
Come on, Bruno.
Exactly.
I mean, he has suffered a little bit from Joe Linton not being there to smash people on his behalf.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit.
You can't rotate the fouls.
True. Although, no. Joe Linton, speaking of him, he signed a new long-term deal with the club yesterday, which is lovely to see. It wasn't that long ago where he was being derided by those Newcastle United fans.
I mean, the prime beneficiary, I suppose, of the Eddie Howe effect.
Mm. Indeed. It's, you know, a little bit deeper. And my goodness, would you say he's loved by the fans, Andy?
Adored.
Yeah. Because I think it's that player who didn't start very well and then suddenly becomes quite an important player for the club.
Yeah, and I think...
Also indicative of good management. So
yes.
Just give us a good manager and we'll have a nicer time.
Well, I think sometimes people... I know this season's been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, and again, the injuries have been so prevalent. I know every side has them, but they have been particularly... dealt with, had a particularly bad hand with that. But, you know, Howe has done a pretty good job. I mean, there's
great job.
No two ways about that. I mean, at the start, when was it now? Well, I can't remember when we go back. Perhaps the start of the year, certainly a number of months ago, we were thinking, is his job in danger? You know, people were beginning to ask questions there. And that was more indicative
that was outside the club and outside the city.
But that's more indicative of what we think nowadays of a big money owners coming in and wanting success and wanting kind of trophies and just, you know, win at all costs, that kind of thing.
I think that was all projection, to be honest. Because the reality is, what he has done, Eddie Howe, is absolutely transformed this team. And when you think of this season, when you think of the unexpected qualification for the Champions League and the demands that brings, when you think of the injuries, all these so some foreseeables and some complete unforeseeables, and yet they're still in there with a really great chance of qualifying for Europe. I reckon even if they get a Conference League place, that is an enormous triumph.
Hugely.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, yeah, obviously it was a shame how the Champions League campaign ended, but the fact is they were still alive with the last game in a very difficult group.
Yeah,
but,
and do you know what? They kind of kippered themselves by being a bit too ambitious, going for it. If they'd have tried to hold on to the 1-1 against Milan on match day 6, then they're in the Europa League and maybe we're talking about them in the first section of the show.
Maybe we are, Andy. Maybe we are. Their opponents, Tottenham Hotspur, are obviously gunning for Champions League next season, of course. And they're in pole position now, above Aston Villa, just about on goal difference, and have that extra game in hand. And have been on a pretty good run of late, you would have to say. Mickey van der Ven has been, old Speedy Mickey has been a new... So how do you think he's done so far, Andy?
Great.
Van der Ven.
Really, really good. And it was always clear that him and Romero would be quite complementary.
Yeah.
I think because Romero is the just hunter.
Yes.
And whereas...
Is he the gatherer?
Yeah.
I'll get the ball.
Well, I think he is. Mm. He is. He's got the speed, as you say, to cover for his... impulses.
Well, it's interesting that Romero's the hunter because old Mickey's father was apparently an undercover cop back in his home country and is now the lead detective on the Dutch version of the TV show Hunted.
Wow.
How about that?
I mean, it's good stuff, isn't it?
It's
exactly what you need.
Yeah, he said his dad's advice for football has always been to accept everything that's going on around you because it's going to happen and you can't do anything about it. It's what I've done, said Mickey. I know it's going to be chaos, but just do your job.
You see that quote from his dad?
Do you want...
That seems to totally... If you'd have said...
If Harry Maguire said that...
You'd be like, I've just done a team talk and that's what you're taking away from it. I want you to control the game, please.
So you say it's going to be chaos and I've just got to deal with it. Great, all right.
If you'd have said, his dad said, this is what playing with Christian Romero is going to be like, you would believe that, wouldn't you?
That's it.
Maybe, word for word.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that is it. Now, Newcastle United have proposed to sell next season's shirts exclusively through JD Sports.
I love it.
Sports director said the deal is unlawful and now Mike Ashley is suing his old club.
Coming from a fucking... slum shitlord Mike Ashley. Good
I love
God.
It. I just, it is so, the owners. The owners have played a blinder.
Yeah.
Newcastle United. Now we know. Look, we've talked about the owners and where the money's from and all that kind of stuff, and we still have our thoughts on that, of course. But if you really want to endear yourself to the fans, you know, certain things in the playbook, and it's like, and let's do this.
When Mike Ashley owned the bloody club, you couldn't buy a Newcastle shirt in
anywhere else
in Sports Direct. You just couldn't.
You could surely.
Yeah, I don't know. Not in my experience.
I know you don't shop at Sports Direct because you've got your mug and you're happy with it. but it is. I mean, they are very, very unhappy.
Most of us can fit our fist in that mug. Pete can actually fit his bum in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so true.
Have a little bath.
little. It's like a B-day for you, isn't it?
It is. Little dip.
I mean, there are other sides that have got exclusive deals with JD Sports. Like, who's like, I think Leeds United do. Leicester and Celtic, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they're a big sleeve sponsor now for not just English teams, but a lot of teams across Europe, particularly in Spain.
Just get off JD Sports back.
What does it stand for?
I don't know. Don't they call
themselves... Jockstraps...
Deluxe.
Jockstraps Deluxe. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Don't they call themselves King of Trainers or some crap?
Yes.
Like that?
Oh. They're the King of Trainers.
That's a poor tagline because they've branched out. you get more in there, presumably. But if it's annoying Mike Ashley, then
we're all for it.
He's funny. There's no two ways about that. There is no two ways.
I have to appreciate it.
About that. Nottingham Forest play Wolves at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Mm. Forest certainly need a victory in their situation. But they've got to beat Wolves. They have to beat Wolverhampton Wanderers, who by and large have impressed us, I think, this season. Although, I mean, a bit of a mixed bag of late, but I mean, that's, you know, they're a mid-table side, so that's to be expected. Gary O'Neill has been charged, though, by the FA with improper and or threatening behaviour. Make up your mind, FA, after Wolves' 2-1 defeat against West Ham last Saturday.
Are we surprised by that?
Well, I think...
Because of the way that he was behaving in the pre-match interviews?
I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Yeah.
Because he has been... You know, they've been on the end of some bad decisions. Although, do you think maybe the press reminding him of that has kind of caused this?
I do think the way that he talked about that afterwards kind of informed the way that people reacted to it. Yeah. Because the way that he framed it is that if you think this was the right decision, you know absolutely nothing about football. Mm. So that
say that to his face, Andy.
So that basically made everyone fall in line and go, well, I don't want to look like I know nothing about football. So I'm not going to appreciate that, you know, maybe it's a debatable decision or maybe it's something we can discuss. And everyone fell into line with his view of it.
Well,
I think was a point of view, but it's not a completely incontrovertible, you can't disagree with it point of view.
Yeah, this was to do with the late equaliser being disallowed after
Max Kilmans, yeah.
Yeah, it was judged to be stood in offside position, obstructing Fabianski's view against West Ham in their previous game. Yeah, I mean, he was ordered out of the referee's room when he sought an explanation.
A lot of referee room action in this Premier League season.
Were they
eating
sandwiches?
That's what I mean, yeah. I was thinking there was a big Subway sandwich platter on the go.
Well, if you are Gary O'Neill, then you will be pleased to hear that semi-automated technology is to be introduced for the first time next season in the Premier League. The clubs unanimously agreed to it yesterday, and it should be introduced after one of the international breaks in September or November.
So basically,
two years' time, Andy. That's
they're
going to
introduce it after the season's actually started.
Of course, what's wrong with that? Why would that?
So then some clubs get to experience it, and others don't.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, it'll be used at Old Trafford. The Etihad.
That's a percentage of FA Cup fixtures.
Yeah. It'll be used to help the top teams' backlines. So the Australian traps.
How would this have changed this decision?
Well, I don't know, Andy, but it'll certainly cut time for offsides being called on VAR down.
Now that is positive
by an average 30 seconds.
That is positive.
That is positive. Isn't
I think
it?
That is positive. Although I think fans probably were wanting to hear like 2 minutes or something. But you know,
especially because a lot of offside decisions are quite clear. 99% of them.
Well, they're binary, aren't they? Offside. Yeah, it's just exactly. where do you draw the line? Is it the toenail or is it the elbow or something?
You see, there we go. And this is always going to be the problem when it comes to the Premier League and VAR. We need to feel that it's not like the binary correct decision, but the decision that we feel comfortable with,
yes,
that we feel preserves the spirit of the game. It's just like, come on, man. Like, there's other things to moan about VAR about.
True,
but we spend so much time discussing actually correct decisions.
Well, I like.
Do you ever kind of when your team is called offside? Mm. My reaction is always, "Oh, that's unlucky," rather than, "Oh, that was never offside," because it's such a binary decision, like you say, and they study them now. So, yeah, it's always correct in the Premier League.
I do agree with you,
but I think the other thing about semi-automated technology is a couple of leagues have held off it because it's just quite expensive.
Right.
Yeah, surprisingly expensive.
Well, it is used in the Champions League and Serie A, and of course has been used in a few World Cups of late, certainly the women's and in Qatar. It was used.
And I love the crash test dummy element to it as well.
Really?
The graphic. Yeah, it's nice.
Is what I would say to that, Andy.
Oh,
very subtle reference there for 90s sort of was it dad rock.
One hit wonders.
Let's leave it
shit
on one
grunge.
Hit wonders.
It's quite grungy, wasn't it?
There's nothing shit about that track, Pete.
I was going to say there's nothing grunge about that track.
No, it's true.
If you're not sure what we're talking about, just crash test
dummies.
You're
allowed a bit of piano in a grunge song, aren't you?
I mean, I've campaigned
everyone
many
in
times.
The 90s, everyone sang like this, and that's how they sang, so it's a grunge track.
With arms wide open. That's a different band. Right. More admin-y stuff here, everybody. It looks like Sheffield United are going to become the latest club to be hit with a points deduction.
Oh.
Whenever they return to the Championship.
When could that be?
Whenever. They'll be deducted 2 points by the EFL, with a further 2 points suspended for charges relating to the 2022-23 season. I love that.
Imagine.
Just waiting for you. That deduction's waiting for you. Survive this season, it'll be there next season.
You can't get us. We're in international waters. Imagine if Imagine if they never go down. It'd be so fun. They use this to kind of stay away.
Exactly. And in years to come, it'll be like a quiz question. Which is the only Premier League side never to be relegated in the last 50 years? But I'm quite sure that they will go down within the next 50 years. That's certainly something that we can all agree on. But speaking of relegation and promotion, the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Portsmouth could be promoted back to the Championship for the first time since 2012 on Saturday, tomorrow.
Huge.
It's remarkable.
Reversing up
like
to the Pompey Highway. Up the
Luke Moore's relevancy has never been higher.
I know. What about that time he was on that controversial news channel? Portsmouth. I mean, obviously, Luke coined the phrase, which I've never heard outside of a Ramble studio, the Pompey Highway, when, of course, they went from the Premier League all the way down the leagues. They didn't go all the way down, but they got relegated, you know, at least a couple of times, didn't they? But here they are on the verge of being back in the Championship. I mean, the size of the club and the fan base, they are a Championship club at least.
And it's amazing that they haven't been in the Championship for over a decade.
That is
amazing.
That is incredible, yeah. I mean, when I say at least a Championship club, they're one of those sides who, if they go up to the Premier League, which of course we have seen them in recent memory, then it's kind of like, oh, right, we're one of the clubs that just love being here. We'll see how we get on.
You know, it's a Fulham kind of business.
Well, indeed, there's loads of clubs, loads of clubs. You know, you look at the Premier League table, you could make an argument for these maybe 10, 11 teams you think we're bona fide Premier League sides. You know, Leeds obviously not in it this season, but they would sort of suggest it. Mm. But, you know, in quite a big bag,
the rest are nice to haves.
You know what I mean, Peter. You know exactly what I mean. So, yes, if they beat Bolton, who are third on 81 points, they can't be caught and will be League One champions with 3 games to spare.
It'd be quite a stylish way to do it, wouldn't
it? It's very stylish. You want to win the league title.
Mm.
Take it from fans who have won a football league title.
Championship league title.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Does it even count if you haven't got Fabrizio Colaccini or Tom Kenny in the
Exactly.
lineup?
Well, that's a debate for another day. Okay.
Well, it's not a debate, is it?
Well, I think it is, Andy. There are some people out there who don't believe. And more's the pity, I should say. Right, it's now time for the Football Ramble. Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. We're back again today to build another Acca of 4 match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. I'm going to go first, chaps.
All right.
Burnley versus Brighton. Brighton to win. My winning ratio has decreased of late. So I hope Brighton get me back on the wagon. 16 out of 31. I haven't picked a correct one in my last 5. And here I am talking about, you know, teams' patchy forms, Andy. You know,
are you the Aston Villa of the Acca game?
No, because you can't draw. You can't. You're either right or wrong, aren't you?
Right.
It's a win or a loss.
Okay.
I think you can be emotionally right when you're wrong. Which I always argue in arguments.
You're not in court now, Peter. Andy, your choice.
I have gone for Bournemouth to beat Manchester United.
I like it. I like it. It's and a big one. You're a 10 out of 21 at the moment, Andy. So almost 50-50.
Almost 50-50. Jim Campbell has the next pick, and this is what he's got to say.
For this week's Acca, I'm going to go for Brentford to beat Sheffield United because Sheffield United.
What a brave boy.
That's fair, isn't it? Yeah. That is very, very fair. Peter.
In the Newcastle Spurs match, I'm going to go for an away win. Spurs, even though the St. James's faithful will be roaring them on, still fancy Spurs for this one.
Well, rampant optimism that we know and love.
Exactly.
Well, who are we to argue? I mean, 10 out of 17 is a decent record. Mm. And Pete is on for a hat-trick.
Yes. Mm.
Thank you. Mm.
Love it.
So, you're welcome, football.
Let's hope he gets it, quite frankly.
You're welcome, Prostate Cancer UK.
Yes, exactly, because a £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £126. And if we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've already raised £770 this season. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama won't be affected. And that's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
Ow. I don't know what that means.
He doesn't know what that means, for crying out loud. It's time for Jack's Encyclopedia. And I'm Pete Donaldson, the host for this week. Welcome. Well, you are welcome to it.
Hey, Petey.
Yeah, it's a game of just talking about stuff. And if you wait too long to talk about something, you're going to hear the noise of Gary Neville's orgasm. So just watch out. All right, watch out.
I will.
All right. Are you guys ready? We're going to kick things off with you, Marcus, with the first one. Vish does have the lineal belt, but he obviously can't defend it now. Luke defeated Marcus last week, so let's see if you guys can massage your stats a
little
bit.
I'm on a stinking run.
You're on a stinking run, are you?
Yeah, but I'm the worst at this.
Mind games.
It's weird because, you know, that funky music should fill me with joy.
Funky music.
Because you're the funky music.
Play that funky music. You like that from Two Unlimited, the Dutch star.
You see, that maybe that would change my luck in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit Euro dance for next week's theme.
Yeah. All right, let's kick things off with you, Marcus. I want every club mascot in the Premier League this season.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I need the mascot and I need the club, not just what kind of animal it is. Oh, I need the name of the mascot. There are 19 answers because sadly one club doesn't have a mascot.
Oh yes. I'll go for a Gunnosaurus.
Some would say shooting first is a bit of an advantage. Yeah.
The only time that noise is never going to be heard again in this round, I think.
Yeah. What have you got, Andy?
I'm going to go for Wolfie the Wolf's Wolf.
I mean, it's a fair bet.
It is Wolfie the Wolf's. And Wendy Wolf as well. Let's not forget Wendy Wolf. But you're still getting it. That's fine. Yeah, there's a Wendy Wolf.
Billy the Badger at Fulham.
Oh!
Is that right? Billy the Badger at Fulham.
You've got that right.
Yes!
Correct. You've got that right.
Stamford the Lion at Chelsea.
Oh, bugger off.
Oh, nice.
How's he pulled that out of the bag?
I know.
Come on.
I thought with two correct answers, I should win this round.
He's quite a well-known one. Come on.
Yeah, correct. There is a Bridget the Lion as well.
So. Okay.
Give myself that.
Right.
Okay.
So an answer.
I'm giving you a little bit more leeway.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League.
Maggie the Magpie at Newcastle.
I mean, we do have a magpie, obviously, but it is Monty Magpie.
Monty the Magpie.
Yeah. I probably would have got that, but nothing more than that, I would say. Andy?
Hands up if you gutted that Swansea got relegated.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a tough one.
It is, isn't it? It is.
All right, I'm going to try and guess the name of the devil at Man United.
That went through my head.
Is he called? If I was going to name him, I would call him Fred the Red.
Shut up.
Yes! Yes, Andy Brassard.
Well, allow me, Jude Bellingham.
Well played. Well, I have
beautifully
to
played.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I thought about the Red Devil and I was like, Ronnie the Red Devil?
Ronnie the Red.
That's definitely not him.
Yeah. So Ronnie Redford.
Who are the rest?
Who are the rest? We got
Do
Cherry.
Do we have to?
They're disgusting. Yeah, I mean, they're all just disgusting. I mean, Liverpool Mighty Red is absolutely... I mean, it looks like a lobster. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess it is a lobster, is it?
Sure,
yeah,
bird,
it's kind
no?
of a... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is a live bird. Yeah, sorry, that makes more sense. obviously, Moonchester, the Manchester City, is an absolute weird sort of alien-looking thing. You have got Fred the Red, which is a sort of bear, I think, like a bear devil. Yeah, Monty Magpie at Newcastle. Sheffield United, Captain Blade, he's a pirate.
Okay.
Shouldn't really be endorsing or glorifying that. Chirpy at Tottenham Hotspur, he's also a horrific-looking bird. Hammerhead looks like a weird kind of Iron Man costume.
So I knew it was a hammer thing, but I again the name.
Disgusting.
Harry the Hammer would have been a fair bet.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
Wolverhampton Wanderers, Wolfie and Wendy Wolf have seen better days. They could do with a bit of a hot wash. Luton Town's Happy Harry, Harry the Hatter, is just a spiv with kind of. There's no two ways about it. Fred Westside, Burns and a Porter. So you've got Billy the Badger at Fulham.
Is this the most educational round
Buzz,
of this? We're all
Buzz,
learning.
But I haven't got a picture for Buzz. Buzz at Brentford, presumably some kind of shaving device.
Yeah.
Gulliver Seagull at Brighton. Bertie B. Bellaby at Burnley. Pete the Eagle. A Crystal Palace. Yeah. Sounds like a man who sells stuff outside. Happy Harry.
I got it off Pete the Eagle.
Yeah. Mighty Red, Moonchester, Hercules the Lion, Villa, Robin Hood, Nottingham Forest. He returned 2018 after a 3-year hiatus. Oh. Captain Blade, Sheffield United, Chirpy.
You said that.
Spurs,
you said
yeah. Hammerhead, Wolfie. Everton don't have a mascot. It was Changi the Elephant.
I wonder how that happened.
Yeah. And before that, it was Mr. Toffee, but they don't have one. Because, obviously, Chang's sponsorship has ended.
Because we all know the nicknames and the emblems, but it's the name of the mascot and all that is
Changi.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. Let's move on from that.
A lot of people in the crowd are very much mascots in that sense. Always stressed. Towns and cities, Andy, that have clubs who have won the English title since the Football League's formation in 1888. Oof. Towns and cities.
So not the teams, but the towns and cities.
Yeah.
All right, London.
Yeah. All right. No. Oh, do you want straight in? I was expecting me to read that out again, but you've got it.
Manchester.
Liverpool.
Quick game's a good game.
Birmingham.
Preston.
Of course.
I like it.
Sheffield.
Leeds.
Leicester.
Like it. Newcastle.
Surprisingly, it's suddenly thin on the ground, isn't it? Derby.
Powerhouses.
Nottingham.
When you talk about big clubs, this is what it's all about.
Wolverhampton.
Sunderland.
Burnley.
It's getting thin on the ground now.
I are, aren't I?
Four left.
Blimey.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Portsmouth.
Are you geeked?
Yes! That was one of mine.
Sex.
I'm out now.
Hardcore super sex.
Let's go for Blackpool.
Andy Brass.
Oh, man, I lost again.
I'm still thinking about Harry the Hornet or something.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the mascots.
Hey, but he's championship.
He is.
Yeah.
Blackburn.
Oh, Blackburn. Yeah. Oh, I said Blackpool.
I know.
Blackburn. Silly.
Huddersfield.
Wouldn't have got that.
Ipswich. And
Ipswich.
Finally for now, West Bromwich.
But Ipswich, if you had a good is thing. Ipswich Town. Oh, was it Towns and Cities?
Mm.
Yeah.
Was it Towns and Cities?
Yeah.
I was just thinking Cities.
Well, there you go.
There you are, you see.
Isn't it a pity that Andy in the City got it wrong?
Well, Andy, my stinking run continues, but well done to you, sir. Well,
you didn't throw it away, Andy won it. Have some respect.
All right, for the
game
and myself
for the lust for winning.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join us tomorrow for the Mailbag, where we're answering your questions. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Andy, you won the game, so what would you like to play us out for the weekend? I say, no, you know, we don't have the copyright of stuff, so it's not going to play
us out. Some godly trip hop, I imagine.
the gate is now open, and what song would you like everybody to listen to as they pile into the weekend?
Well, as I feel Hell Is Round the Corner by Tricky is probably a little bit inappropriate, I'm going to let you pick your favourite Pitbull.
Yeah. Just anything by Pitbull, really. Yeah. Right, okay. Is usually
best of the Pitbull's greatest hits.
Yeah, they are. Which, if it's not out, it should be soon. Lots of love, everybody. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson. Goodbye. And thank you again to Pitbull. See you tomorrow for the Mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.